Welcome to worship at Hollywood United Methodist Church. We're glad you have joined us this morning, both in person and online. But for those of you in person, after worship, you can smell the burgers cooking right now for our Youth's Divine Diner. Please stand as you are able for our opening hymns.
Children, to come and sit down right down here, stay right up on these bottom rows. Thank you. Come and have a seat. Perfect. Welcome. Come on up. Great. Such a nice group today. Well, we have a lot going on today. So, where are you going? Where are you going? Stay down here. Thank you. Okay. So, I have a couple questions I want to ask you. So, you tell me, first of all, if you are wanting to help prepare dinner, where does your mom or your dad or where do they go to go get food in your neighborhood? Where do you go to get food in your neighborhood?
A restaurant.
A restaurant. That's good. True. That's always a good first choice. Go to a restaurant, have someone else make the food. Where else can you go to get food to have dinner?
Costco.
Costco is always another good choice. Very good.
Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's. Great. Okay, good. Another question. Let's say that you're in your car and your car is running out of gas. Where would you go?
Gas station.
A gas station, absolutely.
Or if it's an electric car, a charger.
I love it. Or if it's an electric car, a charger. Thank you, Ian. Very good. What if you all wanted to just go have a nice day outside and play on a swing set? Where could you go?
The park.
The park, absolutely. Do you have something besides park?
No.
No, just park.
Amusement park.
Oh, amusement park, okay, that'd be nice.
A museum.
A museum, oh, I love these kids so much. That is great. Yes.
A pool.
A pool is so much fun.
A beach.
A beach.
Stoner Park.
Very specific park. That's very nice. Okay. Well, that is all. These are all great. These are all things we find in our community, and this is how our community works. We have restaurants and grocery stores and gas stations and parks, and everybody does their part. Come on up, sweetheart. You can join us. Everyone does their part, and that is how a community functions. It is very similar with our church community and with our family and our friends. We need each other, so if someone gets sick, we help each other out. If someone loses someone in their family and they're really sad, someone dies in their family, we surround them with love. Maybe we bake them something. Maybe we help them plan the arrangements. If there's a celebration, a baby is born or someone's getting married, we all gather together and have a big party. That is how our community works in action. I'd love to hear this. Yes. So today in the Children's Church, we're talking about our community in action working really together and understanding how our community should function together. Who knows what we're doing next Sunday in church? Anybody know what we're doing next Sunday?
The Halloween party in Haunted Maze.
Yeah, it's the Halloween party in the Haunted Maze. So if you are home watching, you want to bring your kids in next week. We start with our Halloween parade. And then we have our Halloween party. And this year we have some new added elements that we haven't had before. So it's going to be really, really fun. So wear your costumes. We ask parents, the less like gore, the better. They can be scary. We just don't want gore. But yes, bring anybody who's planning on wearing their costume next Sunday to church. Raise your hand. I hope everybody. Good. And some of you, I think, are inviting friends. Seppi, I know that you've invited a couple friends. So if you have other friends you want to invite, some cousins or any family members or anyone who's watching online, we encourage you to come next week to our Halloween party. So we're going to pray. We're not going to rush off to Sunday school or children's church because we have the children's choir performing for the first time this season. So let's pray. Then we're going to go back to our seats unless you're in the children's choir and you can stay right here. Okay. Let's pray. Creator God, thank you for our church community. Thank you for how we function and how we take care of each other. Thank you that when times are good, we have a family to celebrate with. When times are hard, we are surrounded by comfort and love and care and support. When we go through the milestones of life, we are here for each other. Help us to invest in our church family, in our communities, to be people who share and to love and bring light wherever we can. And may we always teach this to the children and be that example to them as they grow up in this church. We love you so much. We thank you for everybody who participates in children and youth ministry. We thank you for our children's choir this year and for the leaders who have stepped forward to lead. And we thank you for the children that are learning how to use their voices to praise you, God. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so I'm going to have our new children's choir directors, Miss April and Miss Mari, take it away. Heather and Miss Heather. I do that all the time.
Stand on your spot.
Hello, good morning. Welcome. Mari and I have taken the reins for the kids' choirs, and the first performance of the year, we wanted to combine both choirs so we could have the big kids kind of help the little kids with their first performing experience. So please enjoy this song by the children's choir.
Okay.
want to thank Miss Heather and Miss Mari and Miss April for all their help with all of our kids. And as our children go off to Sunday school, please stand and greet one another with the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you. Awesome.
The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's give some peace to our friends in the balcony who helped make our service so wonderful and who are visiting, and all our friends online. We're so glad you're worshiping with us. I invite you now to just take a deep breath. Take it in. Let it out. Together we're going to make a quiet place to be in conversation with God during a time of prayer and reflection. And we are so blessed to have such a wonderful music ministry here and have that time opened up by our incredible choir.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my Redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my Redeemer.
Holy Creator, make us each a channel of your peace. Where there is anger and despair, help us to find your hope and your kindness. Where there is sorrow and loss, help us to be vessels of your healing and forgiveness. Help us to be your light in the world. Make our words of love true, so that they might know everywhere that all people belong to you. We pray this morning for the end of war and suffering, for peace and for recovery, for people in all war-torn places. God, please shelter the people of Israel and shelter the people of Palestine. Reunite families. Bring solace to broken and grieving hearts. And help to bring the cessation of all hostilities between these neighbors. War heals no one and destroys life. We pray for a better and brighter possibility for all, and a future where no blood is shed. We pray that the hearts of men can be changed, that they will change, and the thirst for domination and control or conflict, all things that live in each every one of us that can drive war and violence of all kinds, we pray that you will take them from us and bring them to an end. God, bring us a tomorrow that is brighter than today. We ask these things as grand as they are because you are a God of extravagant and all-redeeming love, and we know that all is possible through you and your Son, Jesus. This morning we pray for you to be with those in our community who are in need of healing and have experienced loss. Bring them comfort. Bring them healing. Surround them with your love and presence. We also offer gratitude for the many joys and wonders that are in our community, for friendship, for our kids and their beautiful voices and their incredible energy, for all the people that pour themselves into making this church a home for many. This morning we lift up Dan to you as he heals from surgery. We pray for Amber as she seeks a new path in life. We lift up to you Butch. We pray for Doug and his family on the passing of Jim, for Javier and Sal and healing, and discernment for Seth. And we offer to you deep gratitude for answered prayers for Kyle and the opportunities that are newly in his life. You heal and move in ways that we never know is coming, and for that we are grateful. There are many prayers that remain unsaid, and so now we take a moment in silence to offer you what is on our hearts and our minds. Ever-present God, we lift up to you our joys and our concerns, our gratitudes and our fears, for we know that you can carry far more than us. We entrust them to you. Heavenly Parent, continue to pour your Holy Spirit over each part of our lives so that we might be inspired and always find our footing in a constantly changing world. We know that through you all things are possible and we are grateful. And so in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to be, with deep confidence, your children, we offer you the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good Sunday morning, church family. How are we doing? Hungry? I hope you are. I smell like barbecue, so hope you're staying afterwards. Real quick, let's check in. Got the QR code up there. Get your phone out, scan that. Drop your name in the area for name. And then if you have any prayer requests, please add those as well. I collect those every Monday, and we as a pastoral staff pray over them. So please, if you would. Also today, if you haven't already been smelling it, is Divine Diner. And I actually have three special guests that are going to join me today up here, Maddie, Ezekiel, and Precious, to talk a little more about it.
Good morning. My name is Precious, and I'm a member of the United Methodist Youth Fellowship. After a morning of being with your church family, singing, praying, and listening to God's word, we know how you're feeling.
Hungry!
That's right, hungry. Well, today, do not fear. Our youth group has exactly what you need. Right after service, head up the stairs behind the altar to our gym and join us in an annual Divine Diner.
The Divine Diner is our youth group's annual fundraiser where we collect money to support an upcoming service project. For the low price of $10, you'll enjoy a great lunch and help us raise money for the Christmas shop.
The Christmas shop is a toy store the youth group sets up to allow families in need to come and shop for Christmas gifts for their kids where everything is free. The money we make at Divine Diner today will help us put on Christmas shop in December.
The theme that we came up with for today's diner is burgers and pies. Seriously, what could be better? We fired up the barbecue, chopped up the fruit salad, and whipped the cream.
So please come on by and satisfy your hunger, spend time with each other, and support the youth of the church.
Remember, the children are the future. See you there.
Guys, they're going to show us exactly how you can go right up to the gym through these stairs on the on your left. Okay, just a couple more announcements for today. As well, today, new members class is starting, and that's at 12:15. So that'll be up in the bishop's office. Ask me where that is if you do not know where that is. Next Sunday, Kevin talked a little bit about it. It's our kids' Halloween party. So please come dressed in costume. As well that day, in the courtyard, after church, for the adults, we're having our alternate Christmas market. Lots of words. You can basically purchase Christmas gifts, handmade items from local business owners, and we're gonna have that from 12 to 1 in the courtyard. November 5th is All Saints Sunday. It's also when we're going to be volunteering for Project Angel Food. That will be happening 1 to 4, but you do need to sign up. So you can scan the QR code here, or they're also on the welcome table. There's one in the gym when you're in line. Real quick, I want to put this on your radar because we just made this happen, and it's going to be a lot of fun on September. Wow. This quarter has gone by quick. November 11th, I don't know if any of you know this, but this is a very important date for Back to the Future. We are having our Hollywood UMC fundraiser. So that is going to be, basically we're going to have food, drinks. There's going to be games in the courtyard. We're going to play one of the Back to the Future movies in Grant Hall. Of course, the gym is going to be decorated like the Enchantment Under the Sea dance. So it was a great photo op. We're just requesting $30 donation, which goes towards our Red Ribbons of Love fund to keep that going over the years. And that will be from 4 to 7 on Saturday, November 11th. So we hope you can join us. You can also grab one of these cute little invitations where you can invite friends and family. All right. All of this information you can find on the welcome table. Oh, I'm so sorry, I forgot as well. With Divine Diner, we have set up 4 tables of all of Richard Settle's artwork that he requested that we sell to go towards the youth and all of their ministries. So that is actually set up in the gym if you are interested in looking through all of that while you go to the Divine Diner. We had slides. Oh, we have slides. I skipped over them. I'm sorry about that. But there's a lot of artwork, and he specially requested that it all go towards the youth at our church here. So please take a look at that today as well. All that we do here is made possible with your prayers, your presence, and your gifts. So as the ushers come forward, please give as generously as you're able so that we can continue to do ministry here in the heart of Hollywood. Thank you for being here today.
ourselves that we receive.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 35 through 38. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher. "Where are you staying?" Holy wisdom, holy words. Thanks be to God.
This morning we conclude our fall sermon series wrestling with the questions that Jesus asked. Based on a book by author and United Methodist pastor Magri de Vega, we've been exploring six of the most provocative questions that Jesus posed to others. To review, we talked about who do you say that I am, followed by why are you afraid, why are you anxious, what do you live for, whom do you love, and we conclude this morning with what are you looking for. This is the first question posed to others by Jesus in the Gospel of John, and in some respects it's one of the most important for our lives. It's a question about desire and longing, not for temporal possessions or pleasures, but for ultimate meaning and purpose. In your heart, in your secret, in your quiet places, what are the hungers that drive you forward in your life of faith? It gets us to the questions that we began asking as children when we wonder what we're going to be when we grow up. It tugs at us when we venture into adolescence and discover our identity and personhood. We push into adulthood with this question, pondering our career and life choices. And toward the sunset of our lives, it's one of the greatest remaining questions we answer as we look in the rearview mirror. Did I find what I was looking for? No matter where you are on that continuum, perhaps today you are saying, to slightly paraphrase you too, "I have run, I have crawled, I have scaled these city walls, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for." So what are you looking for? Jesus asked this question of two men, the first of whom was named Andrew. We don't know who the other one was, his name. Some scholars suggest that he was John, the gospel writer himself. What we do know about these two is that they were originally followers of a prophet named John the Baptist. We know him. He's the guy who wore hair shirts and ate wild honey and locusts and told the people to repent, to prepare the way of the Lord. Now, these men followed John as disciples often followed a rabbi or a teacher. And in ancient Judaism, being the disciple of a rabbi was no small thing. It would take years for a young man, and yes, a man, who was expected to have the Torah memorized by age 13 at the time of his bar mitzvah, and then he'd be ready for the next step in his training. The teenage years would involve intense instruction called the yoke of Torah. And by age 17, only those who showed particular promise could be selected by a rabbi to begin an apprenticeship. It's said that a new disciple would hear these words as he began his apprenticeship: "May you be covered by the dust of your rabbi." It was a word of blessing and also of admonition for the new disciple to follow his rabbi so closely that he would be covered by the teacher's very dust. So this is the context that when Jesus walked by John and these two disciples, John basically cuts them loose and says, "This is the Messiah. This is the Lamb of God who you need to be following." And immediately Jesus asks them the questions, "What are you looking for?" Now, perhaps they were caught a little off guard, a little surprised that their rabbi was sending them to follow another, or maybe both things were true. But the men responded to Jesus with a question of their own: "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Now, on its face value, we could understand this to mean, "Where are you going, Rabbi? You know, what hotel are you in? How long are you going to stay there? If we come with you, what will we expect?" But the word for staying is one of John's most significant words. It's used over 40 times in his gospel. But the other translation for it is abide. The two men were not asking where Jesus was going to stay for the night. They were asking how they could abide with him, how they might draw closer to him, how they might follow him, and most importantly, whether Jesus could provide the one thing that they were craving and they were longing for, and that's stability. "Rabbi, if you could provide a sense of stability and home in a world where we feel increasingly like wanderers, we want to be covered in your dust." And Jesus says, "Come and see." Theologian Debbie Thomas says, "We have to follow Jesus all the way home if we want to know who he is, where he is, and what he's about. He won't be pinned down. He won't fit into any box we try to stick him in. He's not the type who remains in stasis. He moves. At times, he will not be easy or to seek or find. In short, the path that leads to him will become clear only when we decide to walk it." Hence the question we must ask ourselves at every turn: what are we looking for, Jesus or something else? Many of us might be familiar with, or even at one point in our lives consulted, the popular career guidebook, What Color Is Your Parachute? It was written by Richard Bowles and has been updated annually since its origin date in the 1970s. Bowles wrote a lesser-known book titled How to Find Your Mission in Life. And in it, he notes there are three steps to finding your mission, your calling, what you're looking for in your life. The first two are universal for everyone, and the last one is exclusively yours. The first of the two universal steps: seek to stand hour by hour in the conscious presence of God, the one from whom your mission is derived. Your mission is to know God and to see God's hand in all things. Finding out what you are looking for is impossible without knowing the Creator who put you in this world. The second universal step: do what you can, moment by moment, day by day, step by step, to make this world a better place, following the leading and the guiding of God's Spirit within you and around you. And third, your third mission on earth is one which is uniquely yours, and that is to exercise the talent which you particularly came to earth to use in those places and those settings which God has caused to appeal to you the most, and for those purposes which God most needs to have done in the world. As a college student for me, and I'm sure for many of you, this third step was all-consuming. I've shared with you before that I spent the bulk of my out-of-class time in either the library or the chapel, making me the ultimate party girl, I know. But I did look beyond my friends and my small groups to others to help inform my worldview, my professors in the political science realm, and also to music, as I'm sure a lot of us look to musicians. I noted on social media this weekend that before Bruce, who has long supported anti-hunger and labor movement efforts, for me, it was Jackson Browne. His was the first concert I ever attended at the Forum. And his commitment to social justice and working for an end to systemic racism has not abated, as I heard at his concert just Friday night. Listening to him sing the songs of his life and that I adapted for my life, dedicated to seeking justice, I can answer affirmatively to the question posed by you too. I have found what I'm looking for. But we know that many of us are still looking, and in fact, even if we think we found what we're looking for, we need to keep on and never remain static. But an example that we can all learn from, last month, four new stained glass windows were installed and dedicated in the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., replacing the former windows that celebrated Confederate General Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. Those were removed in 2017. The new windows are titled the Now and Forever Windows, depicting the resilience and courage of African Americans, a sense of forward motion from slavery to freedom, and the inherent tensions in that struggle. The dean of the cathedral noted there's a lot of work yet to be done to confront systemic racism, to foster racial reconciliation, and to be repairers of the breach, both in our past, our present, and our future. We're committed to this work at the cathedral, to being a house of prayer for all people, and for doing what we can to build the beloved community. Each of the people who were part of the process, from removing the windows in the first place in 2017, and the dean at the time was Gary Hall, a former associate rector at All Saints Pasadena, to crafting a vision for new ones demonstrating God's desire for racial justice, they were following their individual missions, exercising their talents for the purpose that God most needs to have done in the world. What are you looking for? Some of you will remember Dr. Frank Rogers of the Claremont School of Theology, who pre-pandemic, which I know is 100 years ago, he led for us two practicing compassion workshops while as a church we had a sermon series on his book of the same name. Frank has written a new book, Cradled in the Arms of Compassion, which is available on Amazon. I am honored to be a part of his launch team. About this new book, Frank writes, "This is the personal story of my lifelong search for psycho-spiritual resources in healing from the horrors of childhood sexual abuse," and recounts the origins of the compassion practice, the synthesis of my restorative journey. I wrote it for my sister who ached for such resources, and for any survivor of trauma and suffering seeking a source of compassion to navigate the way to healing and wholeness. My hope is to have Frank preach one Sunday in 2024, and then we'll have a workshop after worship to talk about the book and how he found healing. Frank is certainly using his talents for the purpose God most needs to have done in the world. What are you looking for? We know that Jesus looked at John's disciples and said, "Come and see. Come with your curiosity, with your desires. Come with your hunger and your doubts. Come and see what you can be when you abide with me." One of the best ways to discover how the Christ is calling you here in this community how Christ is calling you to come and see is being part of a small group. We now have 14 small groups up and running at both campuses, thanks to Pastor Devin, who is an amazing human being. Amen. If you're not part of one, talk with him over a burger at the Divine Diner and see what might be right for you. And if small groups aren't your thing and they're not for everyone, there are plenty of other ways to become involved in serving and outreach, even if it's just a one-time thing. As you heard in the announcements, we're preparing meals at Project Angel Food on Sunday afternoon, November 5th, and we still need a number of signups. We need volunteers for that fundraiser we're talking about on Saturday the 11th. And I can't believe I'm already saying this, but we need help decorating the sanctuary for Advent and Christmas on November 19th, which really is tomorrow. If you step out in faith and do just one thing or just one more thing, you are then allowing God to step into your life and show you how the Christ is calling you to come and see. Come and see what you can do and be in this world when I am what you are looking for. And here's the thing to remember. You don't have to worry about what others are doing. Okay, that really didn't go over well. I thought it was funny, but Lance Bass is not worried about what Taylor Swift's doing at a football game. I'm just saying. Jesus says, you do you. You be you. Focus on how I am calling you to live and love and serve. And let my dust cover you and all that you are. Amen. Following the postlude, if you'd like to receive communion, you do not have to be a member of this church or of any church. You simply have to have the desire to receive. You're welcome to come down and in these, one of these front two rows, and Pastor Bridie will consecrate the elements. And then you can have some time afterwards to kneel at the altar rail in prayer if you'd like. The Divine Diner is up those stairs as soon as you'd like to go. And all the information table and everything is there in the gymnasium for you. So go now, pondering the question, what are you looking for? And I pray that it is indeed the Christ. Go now in peace to love and serve the world. Amen.